The Guardians have lost 10 straight games. They've looked bad doing it. Their hitting has been non-existent, and their fielding has been bad. Pitching's been really good. Menegan just laughed. There's no sense messing around with this. We know the deal, right?
Bluntness will forever make me laugh.
There you go. Chris Ossenheimer covers the Guardians for the Chronicle-Telegram. He's one of our buddies. He's good at what he does, and he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hello, Ossie.
Ossie. What's up, guys?
Not the Guardians in any which way.
Yeah. I feel like I say that every time I come on.
Yep. Let me ask you this. Let me go real big picture here. Aren't we past decision time on about 5-6 guys on this team, position player-wise?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. The problem is who, you know, what do you do with them?
That's a real good question.
I mean, that's the problem. I mean, yeah, you can bring up Kuipis and DeLauder, and I think they should bring him up. I mean, at this, I think we're at the point where that definitely needs to happen. But as far as the other guy, I mean, it's what do you do?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, you there's no one to go get in the minors past those two. I guess Juan Brito would probably be another guy you might want to take a look at too.
What's his hamstring like, by the way? He yanked his hamstring the other day. Is he out for a while? I haven't seen. Have you heard anything?
Brito?
Yeah.
No, I have not heard anything, I guess I wouldn't be surprised. It seems like a lot of their big prospects have dealt with injuries over the years. You look at George Valera, and DeLauder's always hurt. I don't know what's going on with that, but at some point, you would expect to see him if he's healthy.
Is it bleeding into the clubhouse that they're in the midst of a 10-game losing streak, or are they just trying to take it one day? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way that can't haunt you, especially you're 3 games away from setting a franchise record 13-game losing streak, and you're 2 from tying it. There's no way that isn't putting pressure on the guys. It's almost like they're like, they get in the dugout. All right, let's swing at the first pitch this inning, guys. Okay, sounds good. Let's try this. Are they overthinking this? I don't know. I need help.
I'm sure they are. I mean, it's a young lineup, and you struggle like that, man. Can you imagine? So it's definitely creeping in there, and then you've got the divide too, where they're. I mean, what do they say? Pitching wins games, and it's like, well, not for them. And there's got to be a little divide there. I mean, of course they would never say it, and they always say, you know, our hitters pick us up, you know, when we pitch poorly. But they've been pitching really, really well and getting absolutely nothing to show for it except for an L. So, I mean, of course Stephen Vogt's going to say that. I mean, you know, I understand why fans get tired of hearing him say the same thing, but what's he supposed to say? These guys stink? You know, I mean, I don't know what, you know, he's got to at least try to keep their confidence up. But I don't think there's any way to do that. It's human nature. Like you said, I mean, you're going up there and you're wanting, and they say it all the time. You want to hit the 5-run home run and things of that nature, but yeah, they're in a jam, and they don't really have it's not a whole lot of positive to turn to outside of the pitching.
I'm willing to trade anything that they think isn't going to be on this team next year. And, you know, we can get into some of those specifically. Before we do that, God bless David Fry. Did a lot of things well for this team last year, played a lot of positions, had a great first half. Did not really have a great second half, and you know, maybe his injury was part of the reason why on that his batting average dropped a ton and his productivity dropped a ton. Why is he DHing right now?
Yeah, I think that they're trying to give him every opportunity to show what he did last year. I mean, he was an all-star last year, kind of surprising, and then you look at it now and maybe he shouldn't have been, but I don't want to take that away from the guy. I mean, no. He was an all-star, and he had a great season, hit a couple big postseason home runs. I think they knew, you know, he wasn't going to be a position player, and that he was, you know, he's coming off surgery. And I think they just thought, okay, we'll give him some time. But yeah, it hasn't worked out, and I don't know how much longer you give him. But I mean, I think there's a lot of other guys that you would sit than David Fry. But I mean, he can't play a position. That's the problem. So I don't know. You send him down to DH in AAA. I mean, I guess
at least to find his swing, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, sure, that's possible. But I mean, you know, AAA. I get that, and you can say all you want about get some confidence down in AAA. Is that really confidence though? You're going back and you're like, well, okay, I'm supposed to hit against these guys. I want to be a big leaguer, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, but when you're not helping the major league team, it just
understood. You know, but who is?
That's a great point. That's a great.
You know, I mean. And I think that you give the benefit of the doubt to a guy like David Fry, who had such a great season last year. And at this point, you know, I mean, I'm not sure that you're trying to make a postseason push. So what's the harm in giving this guy a little more time to see if he gets it? But I agree. If you know, we get past July and this is still what you're getting from him, then yeah, it's probably time to do something.
Yeah, and I asked this a couple times this morning too. Is there a drop dead number for saying this season's over? You're 7 back in the wild card now. 7.
Well, I would say now, but I mean, I'm certainly, I guess you can be an optimist. I mean, you have a whole lot of the season to play, and you could see them whipping off. Well, that's the thing. Could you see them, you know, ripping off a winning streak?
No, not the way they hit.
No.
Right.
You know, I'd feel better if they weren't the third worst fielding team in Major League Baseball right now on top of the offense.
Right,
I mean, you're getting shut out and you're playing bad defense. That's not a good look.
Right. Talk about the pitchers getting nothing from anyone. You know, I mean, that goes back to, you know, these guys have got to be frustrated, man. I mean, they're going out there and they're giving up one or two runs a game and it doesn't matter. They're still losing. But as far as, I mean, I got to believe they're thinking at some point this is going to just be a total rebuild. And you could see guys, and I mean, like Jeff was talking about earlier about the guys they could get rid of that you don't expect to see next year. Well, you expect to see Emmanuel Clase, and if you – you know, that's a piece where you could get a hitter. I mean,
he's your most valuable piece, isn't he, Chris?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And I'm sure someone would take a shot on Shane now that he's starting. It looks like he's going to start some rehab outings. I don't know, maybe after the All-Star break. Chris, go ahead.
Chris Ostenheimer joining us from the Chronicle Telegram. I was just going to ask you about Bieber there. The question I have is, could they call his agent and say, we'd like to have him next year? Is he going to, could he, will he pick up his option? If he says no, you got to move him, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course. And this has been a bad season to come off. Maybe if you were talking about this before this year, and obviously he signed the deal, but now, the way things look, I mean, why would he want to come back here, you know, if he can go somewhere else for the same money, if not more?
What are we learning about the manager right now? And by the way, I'm going to ask this too. How much of it is the manager and how much does his decision-making come from the front office?
Well, I think that's a good point. I mean, I think especially with, you know, an inexperienced manager like that, I'm sure he tends to listen to the front office a little bit more than the guy, his predecessor, Mr.
Fair.
Francona.
Fair.
But I think I'll tell you one thing about him. I mean, he certainly doesn't show, like, he's not one of those guys who gets angry after games. And, you know, he's still joking around with us and things like that. So, I mean, I'm sure it's got to be killing him. I mean, but I don't put a lot of this at his feet. I mean, what's he supposed to do? You know, I mean, if anything, it belongs at the front office's feet. They did absolutely nothing except for, I mean, you could see this coming. They decimated their offense. I mean, I'm not going to act like Josh Naylor is Aaron Judge. But, man, I mean, could you imagine? At least you have him, Jose, and Kwan. And Carlos, well, Carlos wouldn't be here, obviously. But Carlos, I mean, he's not tearing it up either. You look at him and you're like, he's hitting 240, and you're thinking that's one of the best averages in the team.
Chris Ostenheimer is joining us. They've tried platooning at a lot of spots. Right field, you know, is the main. Center field, bunch of guys have been out there. Second base, they've been rotating. My guess is Brito would have been there had he been healthy coming out of spring training. Who knows? Arias was there. He gets hurt. Is it time to quit platooning because it hasn't worked and just put some guys out there and see? And regardless of your answer to that, is there one guy you want to see that's on this team right now get regular at-bats who's not getting them?
I guess I'm glad you brought that up because that would be one thing I would say is – if you want to blame vote for anything this year, it's the not, I mean, he put at first it was Noel and then Brennan was in there a little bit and then the Nolan Jones. And I think that there are two guys that I think that you should keep Nolan. He's starting to, looked like he was starting to come around a little bit, hitting 300 over like 15, 16 games. And I think Kyle Manzardo has to play every day. I mean, I don't know if they're reluctant to put him at first, and I guess I could see that after that, whatever that display was. With the
three-error inning?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Although your catcher was looking at the ground at one of those plays, so I agree.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think that you try Nolan out there, you leave him out there, see what you get. And you trade Carlos at the trade deadline, get what you can, and just put Manzardo at first. I mean, that's the future, I would think. Isn't that why they got him? You know, I mean,
I think so.
He had critical at bats in the series over the weekend, and
I know
came through
I know.
With nothing. It was hard.
But he's not getting regular at bats, and it's tough to get into a groove if you're not getting regular at bats.
Exactly. So those two guys, I would definitely think that you would just put them out there and let them go. And I guess center field as well, now that Lane Thomas is hurt again. Stick Angelman or Angel Martinez out there and be done with it. So, yeah, those three guys, I think they should all be in the lineup moving forward. I love Carlos. He's one of the greatest dudes I've ever covered. I mean, great guy, and he's a great – he's had a great career. But, yeah, it's time at this point to see those. I mean, and then you bring the water up at some point, so then maybe you're not running Nolan out there. I don't know. You know, it's crazy. But then you can at least DH one of those guys if you get rid of Carlos and play Manzardo up first.
So, Chris, let me throw you a bizarre loop, right? Maybe you say, I'm going to throw you a loop. So maybe you say, you know what? Seven isn't the end of the world, and maybe we can win a game here in Houston, get out of this streak, and go the other way towards the trade deadline. I mean, Josh Naylor's probably going to get traded from Arizona. Is there any shot you would bring him back? I can't see it, but I'll throw it out there just to say it.
I heard that too a couple of days ago.
Yeah,
I'm not sure there's that relationship's really good, to tell you the truth.
Well, it makes sense if you say that. It makes more sense to say that instead of sitting around here going, "I wonder why they traded a 300 hitter." I mean, something went sideways.
Right. I think that I don't think he was real pleased when they traded to get Kyle Manzardo. I mean, that's basically his position. So I think he was a little miffed with that. And on top of it, they traded one of his really good friends on the team, Aaron Civale, to get him. And they may or may not have asked him or have questioned his weight, things like that. I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen, but I mean, I just don't think that's a good relationship, and to bring him back into that, I don't know. It's not the same clubhouse that it was with him, and I'm not.
It's hard not to look at his batting average and say, do they cut off their nose to spite their face? That's the hard part.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. And you took away one of the clubhouse leaders, the most fiery guy on the team, basically. I mean, Jose's a leader, but that Naylor was a vocal leader, you know. And it's a little bit more when it's coming from him than it is from. I mean, God bless Austin Hedges, but you know, I mean, Naylor's an all-star hitting 30 bombs and driving in over 100.
Good point. Chris Ostenheimer joining us from the Chronicle Telegram. He covers the Guardians. I want to go back to Emmanuel Clase for a second. Would you consider trading him, knowing that he's your probably best asset here and that some contender would probably give you a couple of good young bats for him? Or are you going to hang on to him and thinking, we'll get this straight by next year anyway, and he's under contract reasonably for the next couple of years?
I think they're going to do everything possible to hold on to him, but because the contract is so friendly.
Yep.
If they don't intend to do anything in the off season to improve this offense, like they did this past off season, then I think they have to trade him. Regardless of what happens, if they come out of this, their offense, you look at that lineup, and
it's not good.
I'm not even sure it's a big league lineup, let alone a contending lineup, past the four hitters. I mean, and then even your number two hitter for most of the season. I think that if they've shown that they don't do a whole lot in the off season. So if that's the way they're going to have to pull off their big move, then they got to do it. I mean, they have to improve this offense. It can't just be Jose and Kwan. And Kwan, I mean, I'm not saying he is, but I mean, I don't think he's anxious to sign on long term with this club if this is what he's going to see while he's here.
Thank you for the insight, sir. Always a pleasure.
Always a great read, my friend. Always.
Love you guys, man.
Peace.
We've talked about this all year. You basically have two hitters who might concern another team. And one of them is going to start in the All-Star game, and the other was chosen by his peers, Stephen Kwan. And that was Chris just saying, if you're Kwan and you want to stick around here, because free agency is coming up. That said, I don't think the Guardians are moving on from Stephen Kwan. Can you imagine? I mean, if you're looking for trade pieces, Kwan is certainly one, and Jose Ramirez is another. But why would you trade those guys? You need them. They're the only two hitters you have.
Yeah, Kwan and Ramirez are not going anywhere as long as they don't have to.
Well, you wouldn't think so. Which to me,
what's left on the contract? What did you say?
I think Kwan has 2 years to go. He can be a free agent in 2028.
Yeah,
he's got this year and two more.
I'd like to see what he looks like through a full next season again. I mean, you can rely.
Kwan's a good player.
When you're watching this team and they're at the plate, there are really only two and a half guys that like I'm locked in to go, okay,
Jose, we have a Kwan, chance for it. Sometimes Carlos.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
That's exactly right.
It's like you're watching for one third of the lineup. And every once in a while, Manzardo's nowhere near where he was in the beginning of the season.
Andy, and we asked Chris about this. There's a lot to be said for guys not getting regular at-bats.
I don't disagree.
I mean, it's really difficult. Now, a part of the reason might be they don't deserve regular at-bats. You know, that might be it. You don't think you have starting caliber players, so you're trying to squeeze everything out of it you can and platoon guys. And even though numbers tell you the platoons might not be the way to go with some of these guys, I personally, and I couldn't agree with Chris more, because I asked him, who would you want to see more of, the platoon? Here's the other thing. The platoons clearly aren't working. They're not working. So put somebody in right field. put somebody in center field and put somebody at DH or first base. And I would do exactly what Chris said, to be perfectly honest. I'd put Nolan Jones in right field and I'd leave him there and let him play. At this point, you don't have much to lose. And if he doesn't find himself by whenever, you know, I give him more than a month. I think he's got some talent, and I'd give him the rest of the year. You can make a decision.
I mean, is that let him play and give them 100 at bats? Remember, we were talking to Rick Manning last week.
Give him
more
than that.
Well, so if you go look at like who has had the majority at bats, Kwan and Ramirez are the only two guys that are over 300 at bats, and they're the only two guys that are kind of carrying the weight here at 297 and 298,
yep,
hitting around 300.
But they both also had a track record.
Yeah, you were talking about his RBI numbers. You were talking about Ramirez's RBI numbers being
down. They're way down.
He's got no one to drive in.
Well, exactly, but they're also way down.
I don't know.
That's just a byproduct of the team.
It is.
Remember, he had Josh Naylor hitting behind him last year. He probably got a lot more pitches that were, you know, drivable.
This team has three guys hitting over 256. Three.
No, I think it's lower than that.
It's 255 is Arias. I'm just giving you Arias. So it's just Santana's hitting. I'm sorry. You're right. I was looking at at-bats.
It's 236.
You're 100% right. Oh, I made it's it better worse, than it was. Yeah.
It's worse. So with that thought in mind, the
over
best,
239.
The sorry, best sorry. Asset they probably have for a team who's a contender would be Emmanuel Clase. I mean, guys who get traded at the deadline, what do contenders often look for? Bullpen arms. And if you could get the biggest, baddest bullpen arm in baseball, arguably, now he's not as sharp this year as he was last year, and he's under a reasonable contract for a few more years, is he more valuable? And I think it comes down to this. I mean, we clearly know that he's really good. Okay, we know that. Last year, he was Hall of Fame caliber. Is he more valuable to the Guardians closing out games on a team that looks like it's not going anywhere, this year anyway? Or is he more valuable going to, say, the Philadelphia Phillies and getting, let's say, two or three position player prospects back who might be able to come in and play for you next year? How is he more valuable to you? To your organization.
You know, I felt good about if you had to trade him that you'd be okay with it. But then, you know, Dan brought up the Lindor deal today, and I'm sitting here going, you're right, what do we have left from that? What's going on?
There's a difference, though. To me, a closer is a really specific gig, and he might play 80 innings for you, as opposed to a guy who's going to play, how many, 1,500 innings for you?
True.
If you're going to do it, you need to go in knowing exactly what you want, and you cannot settle for the poo-poo platter.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And the problem is this team, when it trades big-name guys, they seem to go the route of the poo-poo platter and hope that one or two of them pop. And I'm not saying that as like, I'm saying that as legitimately the thing that you would order in the Polynesian restaurant. As in, here's a couple spare ribs, here's a couple chicken wings, here's some nachos, little, you know.
Why can't we just call it an appetizer platter?
Sure. Yeah.
How'd you cook the wings?
Start calling it.
How'd you cook them?
Yeah. Don't go appetizer sampler on this. You have got to go in looking for steak. You have got to go in when you make this move. You've got to come out of there with something great. So,
Minor league great or major league great? Because no one's giving you major league great.
No, you're not going to get major league great. That doesn't exist.
All right, let me throw something at you.
You got to get a guy that is sitting behind someone that there's no space for them to go forward.
It needs to be someone that when you pop on MLB Pipeline or you pop on Keith Law or one of those, you'd have to do very little scrolling to find the guy who they got. That's the way they have to go after this.
Okay, let me throw something at you.
And do you want to give Cade Smith the audition? Are you good with it?
I got nothing better to do.
I don't have a problem with it right now.
Why
either.
Not?
Even with yesterday.
He had a bad game yesterday. He's got really good stuff.
Yeah,
you got a guy who's nails, then do it. I mean, that's the whole thing with this is you open the door for the next guy to come in with the next group of relievers, and maybe Sobrowski gets a little bit more. Hopefully that elbow holds up. Maybe you see a little bit more for Tim Herron, a little bit more for Hunter Gaddis, and everybody just takes a step forward.
All right, let me throw something at you.
Especially if you're building to the future.
ESPN wrote a piece, what every team should be looking to do at the trade deadline, and it mentioned Guardians should trade Emmanuel Clase, followed by the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies should trade for Emmanuel Clase. So they already had the trade worked out for you there.
Are you bringing it?
The Phillies have a pitcher who I would assume is untouchable, a kid named Andrew Painter, who's been their top prospect for a while. He's a 6'7 righty. He's coming back from Tommy John surgery, and he's considered one of the top prospects in baseball. But their second and third prospects are a shortstop who's 21. Hold on, before you shake your head.
Okay.
A shortstop who's 21, and MLB pipeline, their prospects have his estimated time of arrival is 2026. And their third rated prospect for the Phillies is a kid named Justin Crawford, who's an outfielder, who's 21, same time frame next year. If you could get...
Can he hit?
Yeah, they're both good hitters.
Okay.
If you're trading the best closer in the game, I would think getting two 21-year-old position players is not out of the realm of possibility. If you're trading one of the best closers in baseball. And if you could do that, you shook your head when I said shortstop.
I just put, because that would mean the front office would have to admit that they made a lot of mistakes to go out and get another one.
Which is, guess what? They've made a lot of mistakes.